Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
The first reading is from Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." And so they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who had hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Word of God, word of life. Let us read the psalm responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who live in the blameless life, we are described, speak the truth of our heart.
They do not slander with their tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. Our second reading is from Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that had been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Today's reading from the Holy Gospels from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, He entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you, in the name of God, the Father, and our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, as we gather here today in his presence. I got to say it at least once, given today's gospel story. Martha, Martha, Martha. If you didn't laugh at that, ask a mom or a dad or a grandparent why that's funny. Again, thank you for letting me come share with you here this day. From my perspective, again, a third week of gospel text and Old Testament text, talking about hospitality, caring for those around us. Scripture gets translated. We use words. We don't always understand what they mean. So I did just a touch of digging toward the Old Testament story of Abraham and Sarah in this morning's reading. Of course, they're living in a desert, arid area. If people are traveling, they can't just get off the highway in 15 minutes, get a drink of water, go to the bathroom. There's not a Motel 6 with a light on 50 or 100 miles down the road. They would rely on the hospitality of quite often complete strangers to live while they would travel across the desert. Abraham sees, we're told, three people coming, possibly with supporting entourage, we don't know. He tells Sarah to take three measures of flour and make bread. Anybody know how much a measure of flour was for their culture at that time? One measure of flour was approximately one bushel of flour. So doing the math by what we're used to in the grocery store, Sarah and household made 60 loaves of bread, 60 pounds of bread dough to be baked and kneaded, cooked, and shared. Similarly, a very, very young calf is going to weigh 90 to 100 pounds. A fatted calf, significantly more. The only two comparisons I could find, roasting a whole cow is going to take somewhere between 18 and 24 hours after the meat is prepared. Roasting a young calf in the 100-pound range is 3 hours over charcoal fire, and that's 3 hours with a person manually turning the spit so that the meat cooks evenly and well. I was told that at least in a, or read that in a Vietnamese tradition and street fairs, where they will occasionally roast a young calf once a week, they will serve 200 plus customers from one small calf, not a fatted one. So this is a very extravagant meal of hospitality. The way we read it, it sounds like, oh, we're going to make some biscuits and get a roast beef sandwich and call it good in 45 minutes time. I would guess they stayed at least one night in that area before moving on. But that was the importance of hospitality to their culture and something that we've lost a lot as years have gone on. I don't read as much as I would like. As my wife Cheryl will attest, I listen to a lot of different podcasts. some for fun, some for worship material. Some fall into both ranges. I was listening to a podcast back in May. This particular cast has the same host every week. We'll have guest speakers in. And his opening question is, tell me about a meal you've had recently that changed your life. And some guests will speak of a very deep emotional or spiritual engagement they had over a meal. Some will tell funny stories, stories of cheer. If I'm remembering correctly, this particular guest loves to travel and loves food and loves dessert. Loves dessert to the point where said he would quite often go into a restaurant, look at the menu, look at the dessert menu, choose what he wanted for dessert, and then go back and pick an entree that would go with that dessert. So would have an appropriate put together meal. One of his favorite meals was traveling, seeing some friends, if memory serves, in Japan. They took them to the special all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant. Absolutely every single dish on the primary buffet had cheese included in the dish. And every single item on the dessert buffet included chocolate. This man loves cheese and loves chocolate. Said he significantly overate. His friends heard about it like, oh, that was so unhealthy. Like, yes, but it was wonderful. Enjoying the food, enjoying the friends he was with, and the community. He shared another story, though, of him being with some friends, restaurant in Florida. And, you know, he'd ordered his food, and the waitress comes by and asks if he would like dessert. Again, this man very much enjoys his dessert. So his response is the Pope Catholic? The waitress replied, I don't know, is he? This man shared early in his sharing what he sees as three sacred sayings, three sacred phrases. The first one, thank you. Whether I paid for a service or I deserve a service or not, thank you if you do something for me. The second sacred saying is, I'm sorry. Whether I bumped into you, cut you off in line, somebody else did, culture makes your life hard. If you see someone with a challenge, share sympathy and caring. I'm sorry. His third sacred saying, tell me more. So this waitress replied, I don't know, is the Pope Catholic? And his reply was, tell me more. Instead of having a chuckle and letting the conversation end, over the next 20 to 25 minutes, while the waitress brought him their dessert, took care of tables, stopped by between other tables, they had a conversation about faith, and he introduced the world of Christianity to her. Starting out by those three simple words, tell me more. Engage, share in hospitality, share in community. For those who weren't worshiping or forgot, like, you know, I had to go back to notes. Back on July 3rd, the main gospel story was the sending of the 70 out before Jesus went through the community. They were told, go where you will, eat what's set before you. Personally, that'd be a challenge. If someone puts sushi in front of me, I'm going to have a hard time getting it down. But part of that was also to loose the folks that went out from the Jewish dietary restrictions. Whatever that community that you visit eats, eat their food. Share a meal with them. Build community. Proclaim God's kingdom near. Last Sunday, the gospel story was of the Good Samaritan. Typically, we always focus at just the parable about the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, the injured man, and the innkeeper. But a reminder of the preface and the ending for that overall reading. A legal expert had come up to Jesus to question him, to try to trick him and saying, hey, what do I have to do to be saved? Jesus asked him, what's the law say? The man says, love God and love my neighbor. Actually quoting from Deuteronomy and Leviticus in Old Testament scripture. But again, trying to make things easy on himself, self-justify, who's my neighbor? And thus the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus ultimately replies to the man to share mercy with those around him. For folks like me who have not memorized the book of Leviticus, I had to look this up, I didn't know. Just a few verses later in Leviticus, where it says to love your neighbor as yourself, it also says, love the alien among you as yourself. So not just love God, love my family, the gents across the street, but love the alien from different culture, different world, who might be near me, anyone around. One of my now mostly weekly rituals is joining in a Bible study with other church leaders on Tuesdays at noon. We'll read the upcoming gospel for the week, share a little bit in small groups, share a little bit in a big group. Whole thing takes 30 minutes. It's short, but it's wonderful to me. Last week, as we had heard the story of the Good Samaritan, one lady I was in small group with shared, you know, she's a full-time pastor caring for a congregation. Both of her parents are now living with her. She's the primary caretaker for both of her parents. And so she hears that accuser's voice in the back of her head all the time, or the Old Testament wording would be that the Hasatan accuser, saying, you're not doing enough. Your congregation needs more from you. You're not doing enough to prepare for a sermon. Your parents need more care. You're not doing enough to take care of your parents over there. And while I had never noticed consciously that part of the Good Samaritan story before, what I shared with her just a few minutes later was that, okay, at the end of the Good Samaritan bit, the Samaritan doesn't give up his life to take care of the injured man. He pays the innkeeper to do that, to say, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to reach a limit of the hospitality we can provide, but to do what we can to care for those in need around us. And so we come back around to this week. Martha, Martha, Martha. I don't know how large Jesus' entourage was. We know there were disciples there. Probably safe to assume at least 15 to 20 folks were visiting Martha and Mary's house. I enjoy having friends over to our house. Occasionally we'll have 15 to 20, but usually only big family gatherings. Those a lot less the last couple of years. And I like fixing extravagant meals from time to time, as Cheryl and others in the room can personally attest. It is not unknown for me to get up early in the morning, start preparing a meal. We get everything together, have the meal on the table, friends, family arrive, we eat, and then I go and pass out on the couch. Yes, cooking the meal is fun. And yes, if we invite guests over for a meal, we need to have a meal. But what was the point of inviting the guest over? To visit and enjoy the company of the guest. And I just squandered that by taking a 90-minute nap on the couch while I had friends and family in my house. Martha's exhausted doing all this work while Mary is there sitting at the foot of Jesus, which actually is the proper place for a student of Jesus studying in their culture, a student listening to the rabbi. There was too much work to be done. How many folks have had a day, a week, or a month recently where there was too much to be done? I changed jobs last fall, last June was very, very full for me. With some added challenges from airline flights, I had 70 hours beyond contract of work time in the month of June. As a salaried employee, that means zero extra pay. That's 70 hours I was not spending with my wife, my family, my friends, my community, or resting. I had done too much and was exhausted. one of the television shows our kids used to watch when they were little. A couple times, you know, guest character in the cartoon had this mystic sensei type person on there who had a saying, too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing. Those Thanksgiving afternoons probably could have prepared a bit less, especially judging by the number of leftovers in our refrigerator and the amount of leftover food we were eating for the next week. F. Scott Fitzgerald is credited with saying the test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposing ideas in mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function. What I ask, though, in the examples by Mary and Martha today, is are we truly sure that those were opposing ideas, or are they actually complementary ideas that complete each other? We do need to work in service. We do need to work to care for our neighbor, our friends, our family, share hospitality. We also need to remember to take a Sabbath, dwell on the Word, see the presence of Jesus, whether in person, as Mary could, or in word and worship, as we're gathered here today. And to realize those differences are gifts of God. There's a cartoon strip, agnusdei.org, a website. They have a cartoon, just a little three-pane phrase that goes with the lectionary every week. The words from their strip for today, it's always two sheep talking back and forth. The first sheep says, I've had days like this. The second sheep replies, days when you got so distracted by seemingly urgent tasks that you failed to take time to listen to God's word? First sheep replies, no. Days when someone was telling me to get off my butt and do something. Because there are two characters, and they are different. Yay! Yeah, absolutely yay! That's what we've missed so much in our society, realizing those different gifts, those different traits, those different people are still God's children. As we look at somebody different, whether it's their skin, their culture, their language, their meals, do we see the cross of Christ and God's name on their face as we see them? We should take time for hospitality, to say thank you, and I'm sorry, and tell me more. Those words helped me coming back from one of my trips last month. I missed one flight due to airline challenges, was on standby for an earlier flight the next day. Thankfully, made that one, which means somebody else missed their flight. As I'm the last person down the jet bridge, there's a woman sitting at the end of the bridge, obviously exhausted. My guess was her job was one of those folks who, when the overhead compartments are full, or somebody brings too much luggage down, has to do the jet bridge check down the ramp and around and put it in the back of the airplane. I said hi, asked her how she was doing, replied something effective, hot and tired. I took a moment, said, thank you for your service. Thank you for taking care of us and our bags as we're flying around. Immediately it brought a smile to her face. While she was by no means fully refreshed, it made an obvious difference in her posture, her seat, her reaction. She had a smile as I boarded the plane versus a look of complete exhaustion. Remembering that type of hospitality, that type of caring, feels harder and harder in our world, our nation, our communities. It brought a tear to my eye when I read a week or two ago that at least in one school in Florida, teachers are being asked to take their wedding pictures home and not have their wedding picture on their desk at school anymore, because that wedding picture of a same gender wedding could be offensive to somebody else and could be the cause for a lawsuit to the school district. Instead of seeing somebody different as a child of God and caring for them, so much of our culture has taken to legislation and violent acts against them. Mary and Martha were our last examples in the last few weeks of hospitality being shared with our guest, whether expected or unexpected. We need to remember to take time to share and enjoy the company of those guests, but also take our Sabbath and dwell with Jesus, again, whether in person or in word, in community, as opportunities arise. Yes, we need to follow our heart's passion, use the gifts that God has given us, but acknowledge that other people's callings may differ, and hopefully do. If the world was full of David Stocks, it would not function. We need to do that work, but take that Sabbath to abide with God. I'd like to close with a prayer from our siblings in the Presbyterian Church. God of all people and nations, we pray for boldness in our churches, that we would not be awed by the powerful, but live in your love that does not discriminate. We pray for humility in our nations, that they would know that their authority comes from you, and that they would practice care for the weak and the vulnerable. We pray for compassion in our neighborhoods, that no one will feel out of place, that strangers would be invited to break bread, and the unfamiliar would become family. We pray for homes for the homeless, food for the hungry, healing for the sick, comfort for the fearful, and the hope of your gospel for the lost and hurting. We pray for peace amidst deepening divisions in our nations, cities, and neighborhoods. Help us demonstrate your grace and love to all people, especially to those we might consider our enemies. Lord Jesus, you appointed far more than just 12 to be your disciples. Open our eyes and ears and hearts to see your disciples all around us in expected and unexpected places. As disciples ourselves, may we wish peace upon each place that we enter. Gracious God, help us to not grow weary of doing what is right. Reveal the harvest to us and send us out. May we be the hands and feet of Christ in this world, as we pray this in his holy and righteous name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.